Hi, well, welcome. Thanks for being here. We are we're happy to be doing church together this morning. We are continuing the series, The Larger Story. We've been doing this for a couple of weeks now. We're really taking the Bible as a larger story and breaking up it into sections. And for the last few weeks, Bob has been talking about a smaller story in the larger story called creation. And this morning, I am going to take yet a smaller chunk, and we're going to talk about being created in the image of God. And so we are going to start out this morning by going to our Father in prayer as we kind of come into this time. Father, thank you for so many of the blessings that you've given us, Lord. We thank you for the opportunities that we have to come together and to fellowship together, to commune together, to worship together, and to learn together. Lord, as we go into this time, we just ask that that your Holy Spirit stir among us and stir within us, and that the message that we hear this morning might be one of your words and not mine, and that we might leave from this place with what you want us to take away. We say these things in your Son's holy name. Amen. All right, so creation, make an impression. That's where we're at. So we had talked about this. Bob had put this slide up several times, and this is kind of where we are in the larger story. We are still in the creation area, and so we're going to, that was just such a good slide, and Mike sent me Bob's PowerPoint presentation, so I had to keep it in there because there's no way I could make that. So we're still in creation. All right. So a few weeks ago, Bob came over and he said, hey, you know, I'm going to be out this week and I'd like for you to speak. And he was telling Danny and I about, you know, creation and some of the things. And he was just rolling through lots of different topics. You know, you could talk about this or this, and these are things. And so as I normally do, I look for the thing that I know the least about, because it'll force me to study and it'll force me to stand up in front of you and pretend like I know what I'm talking about. So when he said, talking about being created in the image of God, I said, yeah, that's the one that I want to do. And then we talked to him the next week, and I said, hey, you know, were there any particular thoughts? He said, oh, well, Jeremy, this is the one we're going to talk about for the next 5 months. It's everything. We're going to reference back to this. And I'm like, oh, you don't know what you've done. So hopefully, after today, and we talk about this, this will be something he wants to reference for the next 4.5 months. But what I did was I just studied. And that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to just bring you along on that study that I had as I looked into what it meant to be created in the image of God. And one of the things that I found interesting is the way that we are different. And so we started in Genesis and started reading there. These are things that Bob has kind of talked about over the last couple of weeks. So the first thing that I saw was that God was... all right, I'm on Tara. Okay. So God spoke and it was done. Okay, so... then God said, let there be light, and there was light. And then in verse 6, and God said, let there be a vault between the waters to separate the water from the water. So God made the vault and separated the water under the vault from the water above it, and it was so. So we can see there again, it says, and God said, and it was so. And then in verse 9, it says, and God said, let the water under the sky be gathered in one place, and let dry ground appear. And so again, we see, and God said, and it was so. In verse 11, and God said, let the land produce vegetation, seed-bearing plants and trees on the land that will bear fruit with seed in it according to the various kinds, and it was so. And this continues on in this creation story. God spoke, and it was done. And then we come a little further down to verse 26, and what I noticed here, and this is something that Bob mentioned last week, was, in verse 26, all right, then God said, let us make mankind in our image and in our likeness. And this is the first time that God mentions this conversation in the Trinity. So God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost were in this conversation together, and they were making mankind in our image. And then I saw, so for me, this all was what I expected. I expected to see God said, and there was light, and I knew all of that. That wasn't anything earth-shattering for me. In verse 24, I don't have this up there, but verse 24, it says, let the land produce living creatures according to their kinds, the livestock, the creatures that move along the ground, and the wild animals, each according to its kind, and it was so. God made the wild animals according to their kinds, the livestock according to their kinds, and all the creatures that move along the ground according to their kinds. And God saw, and it was good. And so we see that everything is being created in its kind. But then, in chapter 2 of Genesis, in verse 7, it says this, "Then the Lord God formed a man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became living flesh." And this, I don't know if I just, you know, glazed over it before. I certainly wasn't purposefully looking for it, but this really changed the way that I started to see my formation, that as opposed to God speaking me into existence, that God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost spent the time and they formed me out of the dust, and the breath that I breathe is, the thought that the breath in my lungs as God breathed was really hard for me to grasp. But he created us in his kind, in his image. This whole idea of being created in his image has become known as Imago Dei to scholars. I had no idea what that was beforehand. But God made an impression on us. All right. This morning I want to talk about the idea that because I am made in the image of God, Imago Dei, because I have God's unique and holy impression on me, I am in turn called to make an impression, God's impression, upon the world. As silly as it sounds, I think that we've started to blur the lines on how holy and special this place of ours is in God's creation. And I blame Disney. Disney's been able to humanize animals to us. I think that my kids, when they were younger, were disappointed that their fish couldn't talk back like Nemo did. We watch human deers in Bambi, foxes and dogs in Fox and the Hound, owls, there's a Bug's Life, mice, Chicken Little screams that the sky is falling, elephants named Dumbo, bears in the Jungle Book, lions and hyenas that are kings and hyenas, crabs that sing in The Little Mermaid. They finally just threw the whole idea into one movie and called it The Secret Life of Pets, which, by the way, is a really good movie. Heck, Hollywood has made $1 billion on the concept that the apes will one day take over this world. Let's not be confused. We are created uniquely in God's creation. If you know anything about our family, you know that we love animals. My home currently consists of 2 dogs, Charlie and Percy, 3 cats, Oliver, Fifi, and Twinkle, 4 ducks, Dodgers, Casey, Marshmallow, and Missy, and 7 fish. Don't ask me their names. They have them, but I'm heartless and don't memorize the names of things I flush down a toilet. So I'm going to take our oldest pet, Charlie, and do some comparisons between he and I in God's creation. The first is that I have the ability and the desire to seek God and understand him. Charlie is not wrestling with such things. Charlie does not lay awake at night and plead with God for the souls of his children. He doesn't long for them to know the Lord and to worship the Lord. He doesn't pray. He's a dog. He's not worried about retirement. He doesn't miss his father-in-law. He's not trying to keep good friendships together. He's just not. He's a dog. He doesn't pray. He doesn't fast, lest Lucas forgets to feed him. He doesn't possess the spiritual, moral capacity that we hold as image bearers as a result of Imago Dei. He doesn't feel shame. And before you send me the video of your dog hunkered down when you came through the door and said, "Who did that?" or "Did you do that?" as your defense that a dog has shame, let me assure you that this is more fear brought about by instinct than it is shame. You know how I know that? Because when I throw Charlie out in the backyard after he's gone to the bathroom in my formal living room, and I let him back in, we're best friends again, as far as Charlie is concerned. I don't feel like we're best friends yet. But he loves me just the same. He's not 3 days later saying, "I can't believe I did that." Why? Because he's a dog. That's why. Now, we do that. We'll do something and we know it's wrong, and 4 days later go, "Gosh, I wish I hadn't have done that." Your dog has never and will never do that. He's a dog. My unique ability to seek out God, to desire to be close to God, in my unique ability to seek out God, to desire to be close to God, I should be making an impression on those around me. Another difference between Charlie and I is I have different and unique relationships with my fellow creation. Our relationships towards one another is different. There are relationships within non-human species that are perfectly acceptable that are not true about human relationship. When a lion attacks and kills another lion, no one has to get therapy. No lion lies there and is like, oh my gosh, did you see that? None of them. It just killed him. He had it coming. He was a young lion. He shouldn't have trespassed. He had it coming. Nobody's investigating it. Nobody's filing a report. There's no great concern about it. We're just like they're lions. That's what they do. But that's not how our relationships work with one another. In fact, in Genesis 9:6, it says this, whoever sheds the blood of man, by man shall his blood be shed, for God made man in his own image. By and large, nobody gasps with great horror at the idea of me eating a steak. Now, there are some outliers out there that might say, you killed a cow, that's one of God's creatures. I'm sure those people are out there, and if that's your dietary choice, I wish you well. But by and large, most people want to talk about how you like your steak, not that a steak came from a cow. They say, how would you like your steak, medium or medium well? Nobody gasps that I eat bacon or ham or steak or chicken. Nobody's like, what? Why? We have dominion because we're here to fill the earth and subdue it. Now, I'm not talking about brutality. I'm not talking about some of the practices that are about capitalistic materialism. I'm talking about my right and your right as mankind to subdue the earth and exercise dominion. Bob talked about that a lot last week. We have a relationship with one another that is different than our relationship with the rest of the created beings. I can kill and eat a chicken. I can't kill and get rid of you. There's a relational component that we have that animals don't have. Now, sure, they're cute and they cuddle, and you'll find monkey that adopts a cat and carries them around and pastes it on Facebook or tag my wife and everything otter. That's not the same type of relationship we have towards one another as mankind. What are the implications of Imago Dei? Well, the implication of the Imago Dei is that there's an intrinsic human dignity that places us above everything else in the created order. We have an intrinsic value because of the image of God has been given to us. It's not a functional thing as much as it is a gift from God. We've had several special people in this church family over the years, and a few of them that are never going to know how to do their ABCs, they're never going to be able to add and subtract, they would need care the rest of their life. And they are more valuable than Secretariat. For the younger generation, that was a horse that ran the Triple Crown, whose value by today's standard would be worth $35 million. And why? Because those people were made in the image of God, and Secretariat, as amazing of an athlete as that horse was just a horse. We have an elevated human dignity. Because of that elevation in human dignity, the way we see the world and interact with the world and the way we consider the world in light of the Imago Dei must be shaped by our theology. What does this mean? This means that how we view humanity matters. Let me walk you through a couple of cultural things that should inform and shape. We are all valuable. As a nation and as part of the modern world, we are devoted to a culture of consumerism. We consume everything, including each other. Does the saying, this job will chew you up and spit you out, sound familiar? Well, we're not talking about the job. We're talking about the people that work there, that set the example and the culture in those companies. How about when people talk about New York City and they say that the city will eat you up? Again, it's not the city. How about Los Angeles, the city of angels, or the city of lost dreams? How about Philadelphia, the city of brotherly love, or should I say the city of brotherly shove? When we blame where we live on how we treat people, then we have an Imago Dei issue. We're excusing ourselves for behaving in a way that is contrary to the gift that God has given us by creating us in his image. Let's think about some other segments of culture. You know that I've worked in the hospitality industry most of my life. I've heard some pretty awful things in my 20 years of being hospitable. There's another name for that industry. It's called the service industry. And people tend to take that a little far. When a parent tells a child not to clean up after themselves because there are, quote, people to do that. When someone says, if you don't leave your table dirty, then they won't have a job. We have an Imago Dei issue. It's your job to give me what you want, some people say. The only reason you work here is because you can't get a job somewhere else. All of those are real quotes that I've been told directly. I'm sure that we could talk to mail people, trash collectors, and janitors. Heck, my daughter is in park services at Six Flags. And I've already had to start excusing humankind for their callous, toxic actions to keep her from becoming jaded and losing faith in our humanity. This is an Imago Dei issue. We need to keep the fact that we are all created in His image at the top of our mind. When we are out and about and dealing with people, we need to make sure that the impression we are making is one that makes our Lord and Savior proud. If you've been watching the news lately, in this last week, you've seen the news about a Hollywood bigwig caught up in a scandal regarding his treatment of women in the entertainment industry. I'll be honest with you, my first thought was not one of surprise that it happened, but one of surprise that it was somehow shocking to the people that were reporting the news. Let's be honest, the casting couch has always been a tongue-in-cheek statement, unless, of course, you were the one on the couch. Actress and actress, actress after actress, have started speaking out against this man and how he either tried to or successfully assaulted them. This was a man in power that was able to see these women as consumable objects and not precious, unique gifts from God. He did not see the image of God when he looked at him. Where the Imago Dei is not understood, it is the weak and the vulnerable who are abused and consumed. One of the reasons Peter says in 1 Peter that women are the weaker vessel, it's not an intellectual statement, it's not a gifts statement. It's that where the Imago Dei has been fractured, women will bear the brunt of evil in the world. It is women who will most often be consumed. It will be women who are most often not valued. I'm the father of two precious daughters, and I'm terrified to let them go into this fallen world. Whether it's being consumed by another woman in a social circumstance, being consumed by young men as they start relationships, being consumed by their entry into the workplace, it keeps me up at night. I challenge myself to do what I can to make an impression on those around me, the way that I treat women, the way that I teach my son to treat women, how I treat women at work, at the grocery store, at church. How are we making an impression to change this today? My last point this morning is we are all equal. We are all equally created in the image of God. There's no denying that right now we are struggling as a country with seeing each other equally, but this is nothing new for our country. In 1857, one of the most infamous rulings in the history of the United States Supreme Court happened, the case of Dred Scott versus Sanford. A slave named Dred Scott filed suit for his freedom and lost. In his decision, Chief Justice Roger Brooke Taney wrote that black men, quote, had no rights which the white man was bound to respect, end quotes. That's hard for me to even read. But listen to this. There were two dissenting votes. One of those dissenting votes was Supreme Court Justice John McLean. Here's what he said. A slave is not mere chattel. He bears the impress of his maker, and he is destined to an endless existence. Hear the argument against slavery? The Imago Dei is the argument. Made in the image of God, not mere possession. He is a man. That was the argument. The Imago Dei must form and inform how we see racial prejudice and racial injustice. Imagine, because let's be honest, most of the people in this room, all we can do is imagine. Imagine being pulled over and asked to step to the back of your car. The officer just asking us generic questions, where are you headed tonight, what are you up to? While the second officer goes around and asks your wife if she is there of her own accord. Are you here against your will? Is everything okay, ma'am? Are you sure? Just wink if you need help. That's a crazy thought. That would offend you. That's my wife. Your dignity would take a hit. Now imagine that it happens over and over again. Or imagine that when you walk into a store with a group of friends that you're the only one that security looks at. Or when you walk down the street and people see you, they cross to the other side. Or when you go to a restaurant, you're the last one served. I could go on and on. Racial equality is a complex and emotional issue in our country, but I want you to think about this one point. If you continually rob a man of his God-given dignity, he will begin to behave in a way that is undignified. And when people that are used to being treated with dignity, us, get close and start to understand the experience of those that are not treated that way, it opens our eyes. The issues that we face are Imago Dei issues. How we see one another. Do we have souls or don't we? Are we people or are we animals? This is an Imago Dei issue. In fact, any place and anywhere where mankind is stripped of their inherent dignity as being made in the image of God and degradation and being used as something to be consumed occurs, we're sinning against God. We're mocking his image. We're belittling his name. But we can make a difference. We are image bearers after all. How can you go out today and make an impression for his kingdom? How can you make sure that when you're in situations that you stand up for what is right and protect those that are being consumed? This picture is from last year. It was from an event titled Dred Scott Sons and Daughters of Reconciliation. They had a conference in December 2016. In that picture, the middle two people are Charles Taney, who is Roger Brooks Taney's descendant. That's the Chief Justice that said those words. And standing next to him to the right is Dred Scott Madison, a direct descendant of Dred Scott, the slave that sued and was denied. What a great example this is for us. What a great impression they are making on God's kingdom, that they are coming together and reconciling one of the worst moments in our history. We need to make sure that we go out and we make an impression. Thank you.